Fastamai, hello and welcome to this episode of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. An Onchan commissioner resigns, accusing board members of trying to undermine him and creating a toxic atmosphere at meetings. But the local authority chairman insists members are told to treat each other with respect and heated discussion is part of the job. And two politicians unveil their plans for a £6 million commercial sports centre at King William's College, insisting the facility will be available to all on an equal basis. An Onchan commissioner says he left his post after other members were trying to undermine and belittle him, which affected his mental health. James Cherry resigned this week, saying enough was enough, whilst describing the behaviour of some of his colleagues as absolutely wrong. But he insists the authority's core functions haven't suffered and has praised staff for their admirable work throughout his tenure. The chairman of Onchan Commissioners, Robin Turton, has downplayed these suggestions that there's a toxic atmosphere at the authority. I asked Mr. Cherry to firstly explain why he resigned.
There's a number of factors why I did resign. I've had a lot going on in life recently, work pressures, other things that have been going on. And there was just stuff going on in the boardroom that I didn't agree with, the way people are acting, treating people. I just thought it was absolutely wrong. And to be honest, I didn't want to be associated with it. It was another matter.
So this was behaviour, not decisions that were being made politically?
No, well, it wasn't decisions. I mean, we are there to make decisions, if we like them or not. There are decisions that we have to make. That's part and parcel of the job. It was just the way people were going about things, how they were treating others. And it was just, I said, wrong. They weren't talking to people, they weren't, what I would say, following a due process where, okay, it isn't down that you must follow this process, but I think it would have been common sense to follow a process of, if you have a query with a certain area, to go and speak to that representative of the board first, see if they can find you an answer out. If they don't come back to you, then by all means come to the board with it.
So this is other commissioners, not staff?
Yeah, it was. And if people think that's the way they should do it, then that's fine. But I said, well, I don't want any partisan to it.
So would you say they were trying to undermine you?
I think in the latter stages, the past few months, yes. Trying to belittle me at times, trying to undermine myself, actually one or two members of staff at times. And I'm just, if they actually asked questions, emails, give us reasonable time to answer them, find the answers out, but would have been more than happy to assist them in any inquiries they had. Mm. But they didn't. They just tried to hijack the agenda using what is a bit antiquated now of any other business. When it wasn't urgent, it was a general question that could have been emailed, asked about and given an answer, and we never were.
Did the chairman not recognise this? Were there not procedures in place where you could sort of put a halt to this behaviour?
I think it is down to the chairman's discretion. If that's the chairman wants to do that, then that's their decision, not mine.
This must have been a very difficult decision then.
It was, but after speaking with people, it's a case of, I've got to look after self, number one, first. I was in a role to represent the people of Onchan, and I tried to do it to the best of my ability, but when your mental health is being undermined, and the way I felt I was, it was a case of, I need out, I need time away. And that's why I said, I do want to come back. I absolutely love politics. I want to represent the people. But the way things were going, it was too much. And I just had to take a step back and go, enough's enough.
Will your concerns be investigated in any way?
I don't know. That's as simple as that. If they want to, fine, I'll happily give what I can, but I don't know.
You said you might come back. Mm. Would that be as a commissioner or as an MHK?
I don't know. I have always had aspirations. I mean, I've been recorded by Manx Radio, which is in the archive somewhere, saying I wanted to stand in elections for MHK. So it is there. There is a possibility. People have said that it is a great shame that I've stood down, that it came out of the blue. But I've explained my reasons to people. I will come back. In what guise, I don't know yet.
We'll watch this space. And just reflecting on your time, what were the biggest highlights for you working on the Board of Commissioners, especially as one of the youngest representatives at local government level on the island?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the time of the election or that period, I was the second youngest after the gentleman in Garth. And it was a case of, everyone thought, oh, it's a fresh new face. It has been commented on as well since I've left that I was interacting with another sector of the community that may have otherwise been ignored. I was in other people who were doing it face-to-face where I could interact over Facebook because I'm managing doing a lot of other things in life. I've got a job which was slightly antisocial in that I work shifts. I can't, because of the role that I was in, I couldn't get out of the office all the time where if some other people could with flexi time or anything like that, where I couldn't, just the nature of my job. So I was replying to people, I was getting back to them, I was finding answers out and getting back to them, and people were actually happy that someone was doing something and getting back to them. In honesty, with what's gone on in Onken in recent times, that there's been, I'd say, slightly more lowlights than highlights. But I think something that I instigated in the past couple of months before I've left was a full housing review of how we do things, how we may need to change things, how things have happened in the past, we need to change them. And hopefully that work's carried on by the officers, by whoever comes the new member, lead member for properties and amenities, and that is all carried on. I mean, I do wish the board well. I hope they do make decisions in good faith for the residents, for the good, and just wish them well for the next 6 months.
I think a lot of people listening to this might be saying, you know, you've mentioned there were more lowlights than highlights. This is you resigning after what's been described as a toxic atmosphere at times. Yeah. What's going on in Onken? Why do we see this controversy caught the board in Onken more than other boards, it seems?
I think it's a case of, as I said previously, how people work. It's some people have more direct, this is it, and that's it, end of, where I like to mediate. I think that if you want to be a good politician, you have to mediate between what the goal is and what the people want, or what's happening with the other person. I mean, I think it's well documented about the Michael Morrison case and stuff like that, which I can't discuss any more than what's already out there. I think there may have been more things that could have been done in the background, and I think that should be something that people on the board need to reflect.
Are all members of the board working to serve the interests of the ratepayers first and foremost?
I think they are, and if they're not, then they should be. And I think that's something that is what you need to do. You are there to serve the best interests of the ratepayer. I think it's what it comes down to is everyone has a different view. Now, if you have a different view from other people, which is exactly what's going to happen, it's politics, that's life, but you have to respect someone else's view, but you have to do it in a dignified manner, respect it. I don't mind having a good, frank, honest discussion, but when you start making it personally, that just degrades the conversation. I mean, I was a member of the Municipal Association for Onken, and yeah, we had some frank discussions, but we always respected the other person's view, and that's how it's got to be, because otherwise you won't get anywhere, and it just turns into stalemate. And that's basically, I think, where the board's at the moment. It's turning into stalemate of who's going to concede first, and people may say, I've conceded, I've given up, but I've given up because I just couldn't do it anymore.
Well, are ratepayers suffering as a result of that stalemate?
I don't think they are. I understand why you've said that, but I don't think they are suffering. They are, the authority is still going. It is doing its main functions. I think it's other menial matters that are causing problems.
Well, how about its reputation then?
I don't think our reputation I don't think the authority's reputation has been great over the past couple of years. And I may say, yeah, I've been a part of that. But there are times when things happen and they happen and you've got to deal with it. I think we just need to get back on an even keel, get out there and just sort some of the stuff out that needs to be dealt with now. I think we've had all the staffing issues have been dealt with, and just go from there, that all the in-house stuff needs to be sorted. But we have been, even with a small team of people, have been doing the core duties of the authority. And I have to pay respect to the staff that have been there. When the times have been tough, they've been there, they've knuckled down, and they've carried on the main duties of the authority. And it is testament to the staff that the authority's been able to do that.
Former Onken Commissioner James Cherry. Chairman of the board, Robin Turton, says members are always reminded to treat each other with respect in meetings, but robust discussion is part of the job. I asked him if he shared Mr. Cherry's view on a difficult atmosphere in the boardroom.
No, I don't think it's a toxic atmosphere. The thing is that this board is a very active board. and members have their say. And sometimes we all as individuals or for areas we represent within the board get criticised. I've been criticised myself many occasions. I think you have to learn to live with that and move forward. Every member who comes to the board has positive views, and personally I feel that if you win and get your point of view accepted by the rest, 1 in 3, 1 in 4 times you're doing very well, and the other times it's a matter of maybe taking your ideas, somebody else's ideas, and reaching a compromise.
But Mr. Cherry said this wasn't about political decisions, it was personal.
Well, I don't believe they're personal. Being honest, I assume when people get angry and make comments, not angry, forceful, and want to try to put their view forward, then yes, it can come over occasionally that way. But we do try and ensure that members are always reminded that they should treat everybody with respect in the boardroom and outside.
Well, was Mr. Cherry being treated with respect, do you think?
I think so, generally. Mr. Cherry, what I feel is respect. Maybe Mr. Cherry doesn't feel the same way. And that, you know, Mr. Cherry's got his own personal beliefs, and what's acceptable to me is not acceptable to him, maybe.
He talked about it affecting his mental health. Now, do you take that kind of comment seriously?
Yes, but I have no knowledge of that. Mr. Cherry at no time has discussed his health or well-being with me, which I'm disappointed in, because I've known Mr. Cherry a long time. I personally like him, I like his company, and I would have hoped that he could have felt that he could have come and talked to me.
Well, in retrospect now, are you looking at what you do as a board? Are you looking at procedures? Because if you're thinking maybe you're standing for Onken next year and you take Mr. Cherry's word for his experience, you might be put off.
I would hope not. This board, in the past 12 months, has reviewed a lot of our things. Standing orders has undergone a full review. Code of conduct, health and safety, staff welfare are all being reviewed and updated. We have a new chief executive in who's very keen on making sure that we are up to date with the legislation, that we carry it out, and hopefully that ensures that all our board members and staff are treated well.
The comments are serious from Mr. Cherry. Do you not think more has to be done in light of them?
I think that'll be a board decision, whether the board members want to review it or not, and that'll be discussed, I'm sure, with the board.
Mr. Cherry had also said that the board's reputation maybe hasn't been as good as it has been in the past few years, with staffing issues of which have been documented, his resignation. What do you say to that?
Staffing issues, we've had problems over the last 12, 18 months. I believe we've come out of that now. We've got an excellent chief executive in. We have a new head of finance in. We've got a new surveyor. Not all left under clouds. Some have retired or moved on. Our present structure is good. Look around our boardroom. There's some big work in progress going on now to modernise and update everything. We've created a new vision for Onken, so I believe we're moving forward.
Another comment was that there's stalemate in the board on certain occasions, or there's a lot of personal agendas coming through. As chairman, do you see that happening or not?
It's hard to say. When you've got a board of 7, if you get 4 voting together and it's done regularly, you could say you've got a stalemate. I don't think we've seen a tremendous amount of that this last year.
But has it happened, maybe not in years previous?
Well, not generally in my time. You can always say yes. Sometimes you think they're ganging up on me, but generally speaking, I think the best result is what comes out in the end.
The chairman of Onken Commission is Robin Turton. Mr. Cherry's resignation will not result in a by-election, as it's occurred within the 6-month window until the next local authority general elections, which are scheduled to take place next April. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. Those behind plans for a £6 million state-of-the-art sports complex at King William's College stress it's for use by the entire Manx community on an equal basis. Their proposals include a 50-metre pool, indoor running track, gym, cafe and 5 retail units for the fields by the front entrance of the private school. MHK Ralph Peake and Castletown Commissioner David Parnell formed a charity called Southern Community Sports Facility to launch this project. They're seeking outline planning permission for this Centre for Excellence to attract charitable funding. Mr. Peake and Mr. Parnell explained more about the project to me.
In the plant, there is a gym complex which is designed, or will be designed, to cater for everybody from basic community needs up to world-level performance athletes. And there's going to be a 50-metre FINA-approved training pool, which is the threshold that we need to get our athletes to be able to qualify to race in England and further abroad. The beauty of this configuration is that it's not really there as a performance facility. It's there primarily as a community facility, and it can be sectioned off. So we can get much more use out of it than you can out of a standard pool. So you could have maybe three activities going on at the same time. You could imagine having preschool swimming going on at the same time as rehabilitation and health swimming, at the same time as triathlon training.
Is the lack of a pool of that length a barrier to our athletes at the moment?
The lack of a 50-metre pool is a massive barrier to the Isle of Man swimming, because Ralph, as Ralph as a coach will tell you, you can't train to swim 50 metres without training in a 50-metre pool.
I know it sounds easy, it's just twice the length of 25 metres, but it's that effort that's required. Without that stop, turn, push off from the wall, that really is what you need to do. So because they're measured in international and international lengths, 50 metres, you need to train at that 50 metres. It's all about really small details to try and get it right. Push off, the dive in, and swimming continuously for that length is very important. But as David said, the benefit of this is, the major benefit of this is to have it sectioned off so it can be two 25-metre pools for most of the time, and that will be the community facility.
And just to stress, this whole sports centre, it's for use by everybody, are we right? Because people maybe at face value think, oh, it's at King William's College, it's going to be just for King William's College.
Absolutely, this is a community project. That's what we've listened to all sections of the community, and this, we believe that this is such a flexible development that it can meet the needs of the community as well as meeting the needs of sports people.
Talk to us about how this is going to be operated. Is it going to be the charity? Is it going to be the school? Who's going to operate this site?
Very much the plan is that we are going to step out of the way and let people know what they're doing, get on with it. We're going to outsource the operations to a commercial gym with fundamentally a profit motive, of which the charity will share in.
And will that be the funding model to ensure it sustains? I know you've still got to get that $6 million to initially move the plans forward, but will that be how it works going forward in terms of funding?
I think going forward, if we can show that this facility will make money, the funding will come.
Absolutely, that is what it's all about. Rather than government getting involved in this, this is really a commercial community operation, and we know that this will actually then generate that. It'll generate what's needed in the community, and it'll also then generate profit for the small businesses that can all contribute, as well as the local sports organisations that can benefit from this facility.
Let's go back to that £6 million figure. It is substantial. How are you hoping to accumulate that to push this off?
I think it's important that we start at the beginning. On a scale of 1 to 10, we're probably at 4 now. Until we get outline planning permission, there really is no point us wasting anybody's time. We've got ideas, we've had expressions of interest, but until we get over this substantial step, we're not really going to.
You must know the appetite is out there.
The appetite is out there.
Absolutely, yeah. We've had a number of people who really expressed interest that want to help us, and that's great. But as David said, we want to do this properly. We want to go forward step by step. It's not about a big announcement with no sort of idea of how we're going to deliver it. We know exactly how we're going to deliver it. But it's, as David says, we're going through the process. Outline plan permission is the big step now. We've been working closely with Department of Infrastructure as well as the airport. Really grateful for all their help and ideas. And it's about listening to what's needed, working with them, and actually delivering what something will be excellent for the community.
You've stressed that this is not to compete with other pools on the Isle of Man. Tell me how that will work, because, I mean, surely it will.
It's not actually a competition venue, so this is a training facility. So the need is there in Castletown already for having that training facility. Yes, the local independent school can use that, King William's College, but also any other organisations can use that. So it is a community facility. It's fully flexible, so it'll meet the needs of the widest organisations and community organisations here.
But we have no intention of having competitive sports competitions there.
But it won't compete with the NSC for use. It won't compete with the Southern Pool.
Totally different configuration. The NSC is a 25-metre, 8-lane pool, and it's been designed with a viewing gallery. It's been designed for competitions. I coach there every week with Douglas Amateur Swimming Club, so that won't change at all. Mm-hmm. This is, we believe, the best flexible facility for the south of the island. So as I mentioned before, we do see it as an active travel hub. People perhaps living in Colby can cycle to this venue and then leave their bike locked, have a shower if they wish, and then continue their journey to Douglas on the bus. So we really see this as actually being that bridge, if you like, to allow people to do some active travel in the south, but then also continue their journey on public transport into the centre, into Douglas.
Richmond Hill is a big barrier to a lot of people to cycle to work.
Absolutely.
But if you can cycle from Ballabeg to Castletown, you know, that's half the battle, really.
Where does this leave what's going on with Castle Rushen and the new school site, and where does it leave the southern swimming pool? Does this replace that? Do we still need another southern swimming pool owned by the public? How does this work in your minds?
Well, we see this as a great venue that we would be very happy for all who want to use it to come and use it. That's what we really see this. We see this as being the best facility for a community available in the south. So there is two swimming pools at the south at the moment. There is one at King William's College, which is just a 20-yard pool, which comes to the end of its service life. And as you point out, there is a pool that in Castletown, which again is coming to the end of its life and will need a huge amount of money spending on it.
But do you think that what you're planning will supersede the need for a new southern pool as well?
I think in context, the western pool is not at QE2 and the northern pool is not at Ramsey Grammar.
But they are publicly owned.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And publicly funded, and it's the taxpayer that has to pick up that quite considerable bill every year. And what we're offering is a model where the government doesn't feel as though it has to actually operate everything, continue with their core business. And this is actually a model where you've got the community actually running it, wanting it, and actually delivering it in a profitable way. Releases the taxpayer from the burden of all the subvention. What's not to like about that?
So would that change the model we have with swimming pools in the island? Because obviously the NSC is taxpayer funded, the other pools are ratepayer funded, and if you throw your pool into the mix and possibly lose a southern pool, it sort of does change the makeup of our swimming pool funding
model.
There
is an opportunity there to look at how we actually finance things here in the Isle of Man, and how it doesn't always need to be government that steps in and actually uses taxpayers' money for these things. It can be a different model. It could be funded by the people who want to use it and actually then be a profitable situation.
But it is worthwhile saying that the charity has got its articles of association and objectives approved by the Attorney General, and they explicitly state effectively in it's for everybody, it's for the whole community. And because the Attorney General signed off on that, you know, if we as the directors of the trust break those,
you'll be held to account. Castletown commissioners, where are they in this whole situation? Do they support it?
Castletown commissioners are fully supportive of anything that will bring jobs, investment and utility to the people of Castletown, and anything that will encourage people to come to want to live and work in Castletown. We have a letter of support that was issued quite a long time ago now, so how long this thing's been going on, from 2017. But the commissioners do support this.
Is that even though it's outside of the centre of town? I know Castletown commissioners have been desperate to pull people into that centre, but this is going to be outside the centre of Castletown and there's going to be 6 retail units. Is that not a concern for their ambitions to get people to go into the centre?
I think the misconception there is that retail units don't necessarily mean shops. The model is to have supporting businesses to the facilities, such as physiotherapy, beauticians, hairdressers, massage, not butchers and clothes shops. The place for traditional shopping in Castletown will always be in Castletown Square.
You don't think this will have an impact on footfall through the middle of the town?
I don't think so, because most people, we have a big problem in Castletown, which is separate to this, which is getting people to turn left at the bridge. This isn't going to affect that.
How does this affect the people at Janet's Corner? Because it's adjacent to that estate.
It really is. Would like to see this as a massive asset to Janet's Corner. In the plans that we've got, there is actually an access through from Janet's Corner. Mm-hmm. So it's a facility somebody can walk to. As part of the planning exercise, we've actually canvassed the opinion of people in Janet's Corner, and the people who are most affected are very supportive.
They can see that as an asset. So what we're trying to do is really bring that asset in the community to use that and to make it available to everybody there. So yeah, it's about trying to lead healthier, happier lives. And you mentioned there about the retail units. We do see this as an opportunity then for people who actually want to work in that healthier, happier space. So it could be healthy foods, for instance. You know, if you're looking for a venue where you actually want to work on your body to make yourself happier and healthier, then you actually want to put the right fuel into the body. So it does seem to be quite a paradox when you haven't got the healthiest food there. So, you know, we would be looking to target nutritionists who can come there and bring their knowledge.
You're both King William's alumni, am
no,
I correct?
Absolutely.
Not David, no. Okay. But you are linked to the school, are you?
I live next door.
Well, I have to ask about the relationship, because I suppose one of the elements of this is the creation of possible sporting programmes at King William's College. Now, and Mr. Pennell, you've mentioned to me that this would be on the same basis as everybody else. Explain that.
Absolutely. King William's College are a member of the community, and they will be welcome to deal with the outsourced body by arm's length terms, same as everybody else will. The fact that, obviously the reason why this has all come together is because for them to have this facility there is fantastic, but they've still got to pay for it. Whatever deal they do with the outsourced operator, that's up to them and the outsourced operator. It will be commercial, because otherwise they won't do it.
But it is their land, so I assume they know they stand to benefit from this should it go forward.
They can see the opportunity, obviously, and that's why they've entered into that agreement with us, to allow us then to use that land, because they can see the benefits for them. They on their doorstep, they could have this fantastic facility that then they could advertise and attract people. And it's the perfect opportunity for triathlons, for sports people to mix that idea of sprint running, of swimming, and then of cycling
in the wonderful countryside. And of course, if you just take a step back and think of anywhere else in the world where you've got a sports complex of this quality that's got its own airport.
As well as all the work that's due to happen in Poulsen Park.
Now, I have to talk about the other element to this, which is the Department of Education and Isle of Man Swimming. Are they supportive of what you're doing?
Okay, well, I do chair Isle of Man Swimming Association, so I'm in a good position. Absolutely, we do see this, as I said earlier, having that 50-metre length is very, very important for our athletes. So, yes, the whole of our swimming community really does need that. At the moment, we send our athletes away to actually train at 50-metre pools. So when we take part in the Northwest Arena League, which has three events in the autumn, we're right in the middle of that at the moment, we always then go to a 50-metre pool and do some training, normally early on the Sunday morning following the event on the Saturday. So it's already in our training schedule, and it's very important to do that. So having that here on the Isle of Man will really make that much better.
So it'd be safe to say that Isle of Man Swimming then endorse this proposal?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Completely. Yeah.
MHK Ralph Peake and Castletown Commissioner David Parnell. That's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon, and you can listen again to this episode online as a podcast via Spotify and the Manx Radio website. But for now, Gurumayu and goodbye.